Well, here in just a moment, Brother Matt's going to come and preach for us again and present what I'm very thankful to hear about, the open doors in Hong Kong, especially being right there bordering mainland China, and how we don't know how much longer this part of the world will be open to the gospel. But we see tonight, and we've heard this morning, that Brother Matt has a sense of urgency. And I like to see that in a missionary's heart, by the way. I think it's good when a missionary comes and there is a sense of urgency there that they do want to go. They do want to go and make a difference for eternity. So it's been a blessing having you, brother, and your family. Thank y'all so much for being here. The music has been such a blessing and encouragement. So why don't you come, brother, and present the work God's called you to, and then bring the message.
Well, we've just had a great time today with you all and with Pastor and his family. We had a good lunch with them. And then this afternoon, I took my kids over to the University of Georgia. I figure if I'm close enough, I might as well go look over there. And I even triggered a security mechanism while I was over there. So it was a good afternoon. I want to take just a moment. I will tell you, it's a little disconcerting to have to stare at myself on the back screen while I'm singing. But I want to take just a moment and give you a little of how the Lord has been leading in our life. I get asked a lot of times, why missions, and then why Hong Kong? And so why missions? I mentioned this morning the Lord has given me the opportunity to travel quite a bit internationally. At the Wilds, we had a ministry of the Wilds called Camps Abroad, which where we would go to different countries and help train the nationals and how to run camp. We would do a training, and then we would actually run camp and help them with that. I've been to Papua New Guinea and the Philippines and Japan. I've actually done a lot of that work in Asia. Along with that, we have had the opportunity to partner with a government-funded school in Hong Kong that and have their young people come to the Wilds as campers. The last couple of years, this will be our third summer doing that. We've had around 20 of their students coming to the Wilds every summer, and so I had built up a relationship with this school there in Hong Kong. And so the why missions part is really, as I've had the privilege of traveling just about every time I would come back, and maybe you've had this experience when you've been on a missions trip, just about every time I come back, it was this overwhelming prayer, Lord, what about me? Do you want me to go? Is this where you're calling me? And my kids and I would kind of joke about it, because I'd start talking about the country I'd just been in, and I would tear up, and, you know, man, there's just a lot of needs in that country, and there's so much light in the United States, and Lord, is this what you're doing? And up until a few months ago, the answer every time was no, I think the Lord wants me at the Wilds. And as the Lord was clearly leading us away from the Wilds, the missions burden just continued to grow. I thought, Lord, here's an opportunity for me to actually do what I've been challenging young people to do, and that is to open their eyes and see the needs of the world and go spread the gospel around the world. Matter of fact, here in just a little bit on the video, you're going to hear me talking, and I'm actually preaching, and it's a message that I preached at the Wilds. It's from a message I preached at the Wilds a couple of years ago about this very idea, just to say, Lord, maybe you would want me to leave America and go take the light of the gospel somewhere else and help spread it somewhere else. And so even as I was challenging those young people, the Lord really was working in my heart. So why missions? I kind of say, why not? There's a lot of needs around the world. There's a lot of things going on here in America, much more than's going on most of the other places in the world. So I just say, Lord, let me go where the light is not as bright, and if that be your will. And then why Hong Kong? Really because of the strategic nature of this place. It's a city of almost 8 million people. You'll hear me in the video mention a little over 7 million, and that was a few years ago. There, somewhere between 7 and 8 million people there. You say, well, how many people is that? Well, 38 states in the United States have less of a population than 8 million, okay? So if you took this, there are 12 states that have more than that. I don't remember which 12 they are, okay? But most of our states have fewer people in them than this city. It's actually a SAR, a special administrative region, located in the Far East. This place has close to 8 million people. And it's in a space about 2.5 times smaller than Rhode Island. So lots of people crammed into this small place. And because of where it is, I can get to many other places there in that region very easily. Taiwan, Vietnam, Thailand, mainland China, obviously, Japan, the Philippines, Saipan, Guam, just a lot of opportunities over there on that side of the world. The other thing that I mentioned this morning about its strategic location is that it's right up against mainland China, and Chinese can come freely into Hong Kong, and we can freely share the gospel in Hong Kong. And so we're really looking to leverage that opportunity and use that for the spread of the gospel. You know, the future of the gospel in these countries is with young people. That doesn't mean we don't want to see older people saved and adults saved. We absolutely do. But you know what? For many of these young people, they are asking questions that a lot of times as we get older, we stop asking because we're kind of set in our ways. And young people, they're not buying it. They're looking around going, what is with this religion? And we have the answer, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is hope there. And that's why even the organization we've set up is Hope Ministries International. Because the hope of the gospel brings life to these young people that really don't have a purpose for living. And so we want to do everything we can to reach young people with the gospel. In this video, you'll see me mention about this 50-year agreement that happened between China and Britain back in 1997. And the agreement was that for 50 years, when Britain turned Hong Kong back over to China, for 50 years, Hong Kong would be able to maintain the freedoms they had under British control. There's about 28 more years left of this. And I'm 46 years old, and I kind of look and say, you know what? Lord, if I can use these last years of my ministry life, so to speak, to help just be a small part in getting the gospel out in that part of the world, to maybe establish some things that might be there for a long time, then I would be thrilled in this window of opportunity to allow you to use our family in that way. And we don't look like we're some, you know, superhero going to Hong Kong to save the world for Jesus. We don't look at that at all. We just say, Lord, we just want to take our little small offering that we have, our small gifts that you've given us, and steward them to spread the gospel for your name's sake. So we'll watch this video, and then I'll come back. Maybe, Pastor, if it's okay, could I take a few questions if they have some? And then I'll share just a quick thought from the Word of God. Brother Swofford said you're usually out by about 7:45, something like that. So everybody's looking at me like, you better not go that long. Don't worry, okay? What time is it? 15 minutes. We're good. Okay. Let's watch this video. It's only 3 minutes long, and then we'll take a couple questions if you have some.
Laborer in your harvest. Lord, you've called me to the wilds, but if it's your will that I go to the Philippines or whatever other country, Lord, I want to be willing to do that. China, 1.4 billion. India, 1.2 billion. United States, 311 million. We're not even close. And now, seriously, here's why I say that. Because sometimes I think we get our eyes focused on little old America. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm as patriotic as they come. But we are a very small part of the world. It's not like everything that's ever going to happen with Christianity has to happen here in America. The world needs the gospel. Hong Kong, there are 7 million people. It is a city that was, it's kind of a nation city. It's a weird situation that Britain gave back to China in 1997. Do you know what one of the biggest draws or biggest things that people in Hong Kong want to do? You know what they want to do? They want to learn English. See, you don't have to be a preacher, so to speak, to go and let your light so shine all over the world. You can go teach English. You can go work in a business and spread the gospel.
By May of 2020, we would like to be located in Hong Kong, immediately working with Island Baptist Church and Pastor John Johnson, a multinational church there and an incredible location in downtown Hong Kong Island. But then also working to be a conduit to get teachers from the U.S. into the schools in Hong Kong. We also will be seeking to run camps in the summer, sports camps, fine arts camps, English camps, and regular youth camps. And then also, Lord willing, we have a burden to potentially start a school there in Hong Kong.
So how can you help?
Well, obviously, Hong Kong is an expensive place, and so we need monthly giving. We obviously covet your prayers. We don't just say that. We really desire for people to be lifting us up in prayer as we seek to plant our feet down there in Hong Kong.
At least he's not going. I don't know if I can answer how much it costs to live there, but I can tell you what we're expecting to pay for probably a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, maybe 1,200 square feet living area. Will probably be about $3,500 a month. That's what the missionaries told us to expect, is right around that, $3,000 to $3,500 a month. So, and for people that live in Hong Kong, a lot of them, the pay that they're getting, it's kind of like living on the West Coast. You know, pay is a little bit higher up there, even though things are a little more expensive. A lot of times, if people move back to the East Coast, they get a lot more house because of what they sold out there. So, living in Hong Kong, most of the people, a lot of the people, are able to make that work. But for us here, you know, going as missionaries, it is an expensive place to live. So, yes, ma'am. Good question. We will probably not go to an official language school, although we are going to take language lessons. At my age, 46 years old, I'm ready to go. And we're actually going to be in an English-speaking church. And as we were talking about even this morning, a lot of the people there want to know English, and a lot of them speak English. And I will be able to get by and get around very easily in English, especially with what we will be doing. But we are going to work to learn Cantonese so that we can at least be conversational. I doubt I'll ever be fluent enough to speak, to preach in Cantonese, but you never know. Maybe I'll get the actual biblical gift of tongues, which would be awesome, okay? So, yes, ma'am. You know, when I did this video, I thought it would be a long time. I thought 10 years, maybe 15 years. And since that time, I think there's the real potential that could happen pretty quickly. I actually had a girl in Singapore reach out to me. She speaks Mandarin, which is mainland China's language. She speaks Cantonese, which is a local language in Hong Kong. And she speaks English, and she's working on her doctorate in education. And she graduated from Bob Jones University with a master's in education. She's getting a doctorate from Vanderbilt. And she's like, how can I help? I'm like, how can you help? I mean, I don't have the credentials academically. I've got a master's, but not in education. I have a master's in pastoral studies. But she obviously, and there's been several people like that the Lord has providentially connected to me. I was telling Pastor this afternoon that my pastor's wife in Hong Kong, she has a master's in education. And so there's some pieces like that may come together more quickly than I anticipated. In the meantime, I'm hoping to get teachers into the government-funded school system there. You have freedom. Matter of fact, the school that we've been working with in Hong Kong, government-funded school, I've stood up and preached in that school to about 400 students at a time and shared the gospel. So there's open doors with that. But yeah, finding a place to have the school is one of the biggest hurdles. But the Lord's big enough to handle that. So, yes, sir. As far as I know, they don't impact the ministry. But, for instance, in 2014, there were big protests in Hong Kong because China was forcing anybody who was going to run for office in Hong Kong, for elected office, to be approved by Beijing. And there were massive, massive protests over that. The most recent protest just happened about 3 weeks ago. We're going right by where we have church in downtown Hong Kong. There was basically one-third of the population that was out protesting. And that was over Beijing saying that they could at any time extradite somebody from Hong Kong who was accused of a crime. They could extradite them to China and try them and sentence them in China. And yeah, your response is what the people there were saying. They were like, we don't trust communist China to treat us fairly. And that could have been for a foreigner. That could have been for anybody. So when those protests were going on, I'm like, yes, protest, protest. Because I'm coming in. And right now they have backed off of that legislation. But I think what China is going to keep doing is trying to push the envelope more and more as we get closer. They already do the news in Mandarin now instead of Cantonese. They play the Chinese national anthem at the start of the news. And that's been new. That's things that have been going on. So there's probably some other things that somebody who was living there could give you a little better answer on that, but I know at least some of those kind of things. So, yes, sir. No, Lord willing, not. It kind of depends on what our support level is at when we head over. Again, because of the age that I am, and he mentioned that I'm a little bit eager. My wife probably thought, yeah, sometimes too eager. But I'm ready to get there. And we're kind of setting a date. And if we have full support, great. If not, then I probably will have to do some things to supplement. But you don't have to go in under the guise of another job into Hong Kong. A lot of places you do. That's why even in the video you heard me saying, go work in a business and then serve. Or go in the medical field. Or go as a teacher, educational field. So, yeah, good question. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Good word. Good word. I like that. Yes. I am. I don't know if my wife and kids are yet, but we've talked about this, and they're going. We're going at the end of July, and we'll be there for 3 weeks. And Tiffany and I just got back from Singapore, which gives a little idea. Of course, the people in Singapore are like, oh, no, Hong Kong's much, much busier than, and it is. But also, there's 40% of the land in Hong Kong that is actually countryside, hiking, mountains. It's not buildable. But there's a lot of beautiful parks, a lot of places like that. And so I'm sure that will be an adjustment. But I think I can speak for them. We're kind of excited to go make that adjustment. We actually were driving through Brevard, North Carolina, really, and going, wow, from this to one of the biggest cities in the world. Matter of fact, Netflix, which you got to be really careful with Netflix, okay? But somebody told me there was a series on Netflix about some of the biggest cities in the world, and the first city they focused on was Hong Kong. And so we did the little trial thing so that we could watch the thing on Hong Kong, which is kind of fascinating. So that's a great question, though. Yes? Support level is at about 25%. We've been on deputation since February. And I was telling Pastor this afternoon, and that's with probably about 7 more churches that have said they're going to support us, but we just haven't gotten official word yet. So we're very encouraged. As we talked about last night, you know, the most awkward thing about missions is raising support. We're just having a great time going and ministering in churches and just trying to leave all that to the Lord and in His hands. So. Okay, let me share something really quickly. All right, take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I promise it will be quick. And that's one of the greatest lies that could ever be told is when a preacher says, I'll be quick. And let me also mention, grab one of our prayer cards in the back. You've seen what the picture looks like. Okay, it's been up there. So but grab one of those prayer cards. On the back is our website. There's more information there. You can sign up for the email update there on the website. Or you can put your email down on that clipboard back there, and I'll add you in that way, if that's easier for you. Also, there's the CDs back there. I'm a big fan of getting as much good music into your home as you possibly can. And having that going so that it encourages your heart, but also that it encourages the entire family to think rightly. Music was a huge blessing to me and our family, especially as Julie was going through cancer treatments and after she passed away, just to remind us, constant reminder of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Paul's asking these rhetorical questions like, don't you know this? Don't you recognize this? Why is it that we are not our own? Verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price." What is the salvation word that fits with that? You are bought with a price. It's talking about our what? A redemption. That's right. Redemption. You have been purchased. Jesus Christ purchased you out of the slave market of sin with His blood. And so because of that, He says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. Several years ago, I preached a message at the Wilds to the young people, and the theme of the message was, your life is not your own. You recognize because Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sin, the decisions that we make every day should not just be simply, what do I want? What do I think? Where would I like to work? What kind of place would I like to have? No, no, no. The decisions ought to be all submitted to the Master. Because we're not our own. Our life belongs to Jesus Christ. I wrote an update for our email updates about Hong Kong a couple weeks ago, and the title of the update was this: The Missionary Misnomer. Do you know what a misnomer is? Okay, it's something that we think is true, but it's probably not. Okay, the missionary misnomer to me is that missionaries are somehow heroes. And yes, I think it's appropriate for us to look at people that have made a sacrifice and gone overseas and to say, wow, that's awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with giving your kids a good hero in their life to look at. But do you realize that when a missionary says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, and God says, I want you to go to another part of the world, frankly, that's the exact same thing that every single one of us ought to be doing every day of our lives to our Master, Jesus Christ. So when I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to be at the Wilds. I'm willing to go to Hong Kong. I started realizing, man, people were like, oh, you're such a great person. You're such a sacrifice. And I was like, you know, the same level of commitment that for me was to live at the Wilds is the same level to live in Hong Kong. And you know, for every one of us as believers, that's the level of commitment that we ought to be with having in our lives every single day. That, Lord, my life is not my own, so I just want to serve you. And whatever that means, I'm willing to do, Lord. For my family, that means we're going to Hong Kong. For Pastor's family, that was North Africa for a while, and now it's here in Athens, Georgia. And it's not like all of a sudden when he came off the mission field, you know, oh, no more is he sacrificing for the Lord. He's not, no more hero status. No, if you're simply just saying, Lord, we want to follow you, whatever it is, that's all that Jesus Christ asks of us. A lot of times we lift up people that are in full-time Christian ministry. And you know what? I'm thankful. My dad was a pastor. My brothers are in ministry. I'm thankful for that. But you know what? If you're not in ministry and you're serving the Lord exactly where He wants you to serve, that's exactly what God wants you to be doing.
Amen.
It's not like we're elevated for people that are in ministry. Just be willing to say, Lord, my life's not my own. You've purchased me, so I'm then going to glorify you with my life. And let that be the testimony of your life. If you're here tonight and you say, Matt, you know, I look at some things in my life and
I've not surrendered them to Him. Well, that would be something that God would want to convict you about. Or maybe there's decisions you're making that you know are not surrendered to Jesus Christ. They're your decisions. You're doing what you want. Well, then that would be something that you ought to say, Lord, forgive me for that. Help me to be fully surrendered to whatever you want for my life. For most of the things that go on in our daily life, the Bible tells us what that looks like. What does it look like to be a godly husband? What does it look like to be a godly father? What does it look like to serve the Lord as I should? Most of those things are right here in this book. And my job is to submit my will and my selfish, proud tendencies to the will of what God says. Because my life's not my own. I'm bought with a price. So let's, this week, let's seek to glorify Him. I mentioned it this morning. Let's take our light wherever God has called us to shine and let it shine for the glory of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to have a word of prayer and then I'll let Pastor close out the service as he sees fit. Lord, I thank you so much for this church here in Athens, Georgia that you have placed here. And Lord, I pray that you would be with Pastor, with Brother Swofford, and then the members of this church, Lord, that you would allow this place to be a beacon, a lighthouse for your name's sake. And then, Lord, as they leave this place each week and each time they gather, that they would take their light and let it shine wherever they go for your glory. Lord, I pray maybe for someone here tonight that is not surrendered to you. They know some specific areas that really they are holding on to as their own. Well, I pray that they would be willing to turn those over to you. Maybe there are specific decisions, specific life choices that very clearly are not submitted to your will. Or would you give them the courage to confess that in their heart and to claim the forgiveness that you have promised and just be willing to say, Lord, my life is a blank slate. You write on it whatever you want to write on it because you are my master and you are in control. And we live our lives each day with that in mind, for your name's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Matt has given the Word of God. We are bought with a price. If there's anything we're holding on to, or anything we need to just surrender to the Lord tonight, or renew unto the Lord, perhaps we all, A-double-L, all of us perhaps need to renew our surrender to go anywhere at any time our Master would call. Why don't we do that, church? As the musician begins to play.